This evening is another beautiful evening on the banks of the beautiful Ocklawaha River, which flows south from here until it joins the French Broad, many miles from the end of Old Field Road. For the sake of trivia, I thought this was interesting. The name Ocklawaha River is a corruption of Ocklawahe, Creek Indian, for Muddy Creek. And yes, it's a real creek in a real place. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outpost, a semi-live broadcast of cool jazz and contemplative conversation. Peace is available from God for all who would ask Him, even those who are awake in the late night hours, some sitting in their big armchair, pondering the events of the week, looking for a little closure in some of life's open-ended items, maybe. Others tossing and turning, trying to sleep, looking for rest in a world which offers very little closure or peace concerning anything. I was at the jail doing Thursday church a few weeks ago with a friend, and he was explaining to the inmates about the extraordinary events which brought him out of his criminal thinking nosedive. It occurred to me that the things which brought my friend to an awakening relationship with God were events spread across many years. It wasn't simply an overnight thing. While listening to his testimony, a question came to me. After you believed, in between the times of refreshing from the Lord, what did you do with yourself? While you were waiting, what did you do with your time? When there was a lull in the room from all the talking, I asked that very question which the Lord had put to me. The room of chatter came to a sudden standstill. I suppose we don't think about the in-between times much. I realized people, typically, are really bad at waiting. We often speak of events in our lives, but rarely discuss what we do in between those events. If we were to plot a graph showing noteworthy occurrences in our lives, I believe we'd see a lot of flatline, way more flatline than the upward blips where relatable events occurred. The word wait is used approximately 148 times in the Bible. So, I'm going to assume it's an important thing to do from God's perspective. But, considering how much waiting we have to do in life, God, man, you would think we would be much better at it than we are. If you need a visual, the Hebrew word comes with the idea of swirling in a circular pattern, sometimes used in conjunction with hope, but more often a certain amount of laborious effort and agonizing patience comes with it. Now, right there, that's a pretty good picture of what it means to wait. Wait. I'd bet we can all relate to that. What do you do with your time while you wait? How do you occupy your time when you are in a holding pattern? Okay, well, sit back, relax, and breathe, man, breathe, and I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Acts 1, 13 to 14. And they had entered the city. They went up the stairs to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All of these, with their minds in full agreement, devoted themselves steadfastly to prayer, waiting together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. According to the vocabulary of the Greek Testament, there is an implication of indefinitely in the sentence where it says, where they were staying. The disciples went into the upper room with a mindset that said,
we are not coming out of here until God shows up.
They did not go in there to wait 10 minutes. They didn't go in there to wait 2 days. They did not go in there to wait 3 months. Their objective was to connect with the Lord, waiting as long as it took in order to accomplish that goal. They weren't looking for an experience or to have an event, nor did they sell tickets as if they anticipated some spectacle. No. They went in there saying, we cannot do all that God wants us to do without his full power in our lives. Like those who entered the upper room to wait for the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we should approach God with a similar attitude that says, I'm waiting on you, Lord, indefinitely, until I receive your authorization to continue and your power to go forward in your name. Waiting. Waiting. Waiting for God, or anything else for that matter, isn't easy. I have difficulty waiting for a sandwich at a fast food place, much less having to wait on the move of God. Hey, it's not easy. We have so much energy and such heated passion for the Lord and his cause, or even our own ideas, that if waiting is ever gotten around to, there is a pause only for short periods before we're off and running. The energy of all that thinking and wanting just takes over again. Round and round and round. Often if God does not do something as quickly as we want, then our own bright ideas overtake us again and we're right back in our momentum. It is unbelievable how often the same ground is constantly covered and recovered, thinking we are really getting somewhere, when really, much of it all is just going in circles.
Round and round.
I believe we really do make some progress in our waiting, but then we become impatient and lose our place. We gain a little ground, then get lost due to our impatience. We have to capture and hold, or hold the line. We must stand fast in the freedom we are given and not allow ourselves to become slaves all over again to the yoke of bondage we have previously been relieved of. Even when we do not see something, or if we don't feel that God is working, friends, capture and hold the moment. Believe and stand fast on his promise that he is working mightily in our behalf, not allowing ourselves to become impatient, missing God's opportunity. Think. We inherit the promises of God through faith and patience, according to Hebrews 10:36. Waiting. The mindset we need to have is, Lord, I have come to the end of myself. I don't have what it takes. It is obvious I cannot do what needs to be done by myself. I need you, for only you can do it. And I'm waiting on you.
Thank you.
gosh, sometimes that is so difficult. To wait on God means to stay in place with the expectation of His further direction. If there is one thing I know, the Lord hears me and He will answer. But I do have to wait, which is a good thing, yet such a hard thing.
Waiting.
Psalm 62:5. My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Be encouraged to be willing to wait on God as long as it takes. Are you willing to wait on God? I'm included in my own question there, so am I willing to wait on God? Sure, I say to myself, yes, but I challenge my enthusiastic answer in realizing that saying yes and doing yes are often very different, the same way having wisdom and doing wisdom are often two different things. For me, I have learned to be careful what I say yes to. And once I say yes, I must be prepared to change my agenda, objectives, and priorities in order to accomplish what it is God has asked of me to do. On a side note, I'll add, if you're too busy, remember, you're the one who said yes. I read a story of Mother Teresa who wanted to go to a distant town to see if God wanted to do something there. She and another sister went, taking their staff and one change of clothes. They slept where they could and ate as God provided, waiting and praying for God to show them what He wanted them to do. As they waited for God under the big tree in the middle of town, they began to encounter the town children who lived on the street. And while they were waiting to find out what God wanted to do, they decided that in the meantime, they would teach the children to read. They put out the word if any children wanted to learn to read and write, for them to come to the big tree. Before long, there were many children coming. In the end, while they were waiting to find out what God wanted to do, they raised a school, a mission, and a small medical center. God's two exemplary servants waited on God. They did what was in front of them in the meantime, and the Lord greatly blessed them. The phrase, killing time, is an idiom, meaning we are engaging in some self-generated busy activity, usually an aimless one, with the goal of making time pass more quickly. Instead of killing time being busy so as to not notice, we are waiting on something to happen. Maybe we could be more committed to the Lord's preferences and standards, doing what God has put in front of us, while we are waiting on God. I went to the doctor's office a while back, checked in, then was directed to have a seat in a place called the waiting room. The dreaded waiting room. As I sat there, I began to notice the overall generic design of this place, specifically designed for waiting.
Waiting.
There were magazines, restrooms, a water fountain, a stack here and there of well-thumbed-through magazines, informational pamphlets, somewhat comfortable chairs, and, of course, people. Quite a few people sitting, all waiting. Yawning, some staring, others reading, dozing, softly talking, all waiting. The room wasn't designed for extended stays, but obviously someone realized people in general don't wait well, and went to work to provide an environment that made waiting less difficult. We spend time in life waiting far more than anything else we do. Think about it now. We wait at traffic lights. We wait for food. We wait to meet someone. We wait for meetings. Wait for the weather to change. Wait for help. Wait for the doctor. Wait for justice. Wait at the grocery store. Wait at restaurants and wait to get well. All that only to name a few. Sometimes we wait for people to make up their mind. That seems to take extra patience. Or so it seems. I'll say it again. As much as we spend our lives in the process of waiting, you'd think we would be much better at it than we are. And oh my gosh, there you are in the grocery store. And there is some little old lady up at the cashier's register, and she's paying for her groceries, and it's taking so much time, and she's thumbing through her wallet for dollar bills, and when she finally pulls those out, she's thumbing through her little snap-top change purse, and she's thumbing around with one finger, looking for the right change. I realize she came from another time in history where often you had to have the exact change or you couldn't buy your goods as you had planned. But oh my gosh, standing at the back of that line, and you're standing there, and you're hot, and then you're cold, and then you're itchy, and then you're nervous, and then you're angry, and then you're about to go to sleep, and everybody around you is yawning and being perturbed from having to stand there and wait. It's really difficult sometimes, and it shouldn't be. An infographic is a quick, clear visual representation of information. We don't have to read much to get the data we're looking for. Noah Davis wrote, "One infographic reported that our attention spans have dropped from 12 minutes to 5. The rise of infographics in themselves is yet another example of humanity's inability to read anything for more than a few words at a time without becoming incomprehensibly bored." Another site goes even further, claiming that attention spans have dropped from 12 seconds in 2000 to 8 seconds in 2013, or 1 second shorter than the attention span of a goldfish. Now, honestly, I don't even know how to wrap my head around the idea that goldfish may have a longer attention span than many of us do. One of the important exhortations of the Bible is the call to wait on the Lord. Even though God promises special blessings for waiting, waiting is one of the most difficult exhortations of Scripture. Why is it so hard? I believe it's partly because we tend to take matters into our own hands, to follow our own schemes. Yet, over and over again, we are told in Scripture, wait on the Lord. Wait. Adam and Eve took matters into their own hands and did not wait on God to open their eyes. They decided to open their own eyes. That was not a very good day for them. or any of the rest of us. Israel had to wait to enter the Promised Land in Numbers 14, but then they decided to take matters into their own hands and tried to enter in anyway. Moses told them, "Don't do that," but they just couldn't wait and went anyway. Well, sadly, they were met by their enemies who drove them all the way back to Hormah. Opposingly, Abraham waited on God, and his waiting paid off big time, in that a nation was raised up which covered the earth from east to west, who were blessed of God. Here's three sticky statements we really need to let stick to us. 1. Waiting creates time during which we learn to trust God. Lamentations 3:24-26 calls us to hope in and wait on the Lord, because God often uses waiting to refresh, renew, and teach us. 2. Waiting on God prepares us to have our real needs met. In Psalm 41:4, David received four benefits from waiting. God lifted him out of his despair, set his feet on a hard, firm path, steadied him as he walked, and put a new song of praise in his mouth. And 3, waiting gives us the opportunity to work out our faith. Learning to wait builds endurance and the ability to withstand hardship or adversity. In waiting, we learn to believe God, to stand firm on His word, and it also builds persistence. Now, persistence and endurance are not a means to gain salvation. They are the byproduct of a devoted life. I believe it's necessary to point out the secret to enduring is trust and obedience. Trust God to give you patience to endure even the small trials you face every day. Do what God says, even when deferring to God's process is unattractive. Patience is developed through waiting. I cannot say I know of anyone who can't wait to learn patience, although I do consider waiting in line at the grocery store an opportunity to practice my patience while waiting on an elderly lady to dig through her special little change purse to find exact change. While we are developing patience through waiting, even though God promises to reward our learning to wait, we sometimes feel the payoff is too far away. Be patient. God steps in when it will do the most good. Let Him expand your attention span to be longer than aquarium goldfish. Recently, The Lord told me to wait.
Wait.
And I waited. And I waited. And eventually, I turned his wait into my idea of, don't just stand there, do something. Well, all my plans pretty much crashed around me. And then the Lord gently says to me, don't just do something, stand there. Wait on the Lord, my friend. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. That's right. And think about it. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37:9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37:34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall lift you up high to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Friends, waiting isn't fun nor easy, but learning to wait is a building block of our faith. It has been another beautiful evening here at Outposts. It's a semi-live broadcast from the late evening cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. I'm Social Porter, and this production has been brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, Area 22 Guitars, the home of excellent service and sales at a righteous price, Quality Tires' very own Jimmy Payton, Kenny Maxwell at Farm Equipment Company on Chimney Rock Road, the Mill End Store and Silk Shop out in Clear Creek, and Jeff and Karen with Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by Phil Keggie, Preston Reed, the Acoustic Jazz Quartet, Billy McLaughlin, Yo-Yo Ma, Chick Corea, and Al DiMeola. All music uses licensed by BMI. Be patient this week. Be kind to yourself. Tomorrow is another day. Practice your endurance while on the path to where you're going. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and courageous in the meantime. And until we meet again, amen and amen.